Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I have just a short period of time because Barb's on her way home from work on a Friday, and I thought I'd do a really short one. I might have to record the actual comics read piece tomorrow. But I just wanted to say it was a good holiday break. It was only 1 week. I usually take 2 weeks off. But the new job didn't allow it. And the week went like so fast. It was like almost like I lost my momentum. I didn't come back refreshed. I came back more sluggish. I'm like, oh God, like more exhausted than ever. But it was a good break, and it was a safe trip. I got a lot of comic book reading done, and it's changing my philosophy. Like I change a lot. Like if you listen to go back to Mike Ebbs Weekly Reads 1 and listen all the way through to now, and you'll see me just changing moods all the time, changing philosophies. The one thing I haven't changed is the amount of stuff I buy. It's been consistent. But I am starting to think about stuff. For instance, over the break, I realized how much content is available on Marvel Unlimited. So much. The other thing is, during the Christmas break, they had a lot of digital comics on sale. And like where I went after, where I poked at, was collected editions. And it's getting my philosophy changed. Like, if you know me, I buy like 60. I get about 60 to 70 comic books a week, along with four to six trades, somewhere in that ballpark on average, and that's per week. And my trade room is a mess. I mean, it's fucking like books stacked from floor to bottom. I'm running out of space very quickly. And I realized that for reading older stuff, while it doesn't have everything, the content is available, and I have so much to read already. So I'm starting to think maybe to go over digitally on collected editions, with the exception of Epic, the Epic Collection. I've already have the completist mentality on that. However, I did decide to miss one of them, and you're gonna say, why is he missing one of the Epic Collections? Well, they're coming out with the Master of Kung Fu Epic Collection, which, if I knew that at the time, I would have gotten the Epic Collection, but I didn't know that at the time, so I decided to get all four volumes, I think it's four, maybe it's three volumes, of the Omnibuy hardcover editions, which are like $125 each of the Master of Kung Fu. And I don't know shit about the Master of Kung Fu. I've read maybe four single issues. I've read all of his stuff, like in Avengers and New Avengers, and I've read his solo miniseries that have been coming out. They had a one-shot just recently. I like the character a lot. He's shown up in a lot of other series too from time to time. But I only read like four issues of his solo issue. I have one black and white magazine, and I can't remember why I bought it, but I think it was because they covered a movie that I wanted to watch. Jack Black, Blackjack. I can't remember what it was. So I have one Master Kung Fu magazine. I have four comics, like from the first series, and I wanted to explore it. I didn't know an Epic Collection was, so I have all these honkin' thick hardcovers. And the thing about, like, if I'm at home, I prefer the collected edition, and I prefer the paper to read back issues. It's relax. For some reason, it's relaxing to my eyes. I'm getting older, and my eyesight's not as good as it was. I'm almost to the point where I might need They call them progressive lenses now, but it's sort of like bifocal. It's just different because the line isn't in the middle. It progressively changes from top to bottom. So I'm getting old, and when I read, I take off my glasses. And it's relaxing to do that. The iPad, reflection, even if I lower the intensity, it still kind of could potentially give me a headache. But I love the convenience of digital. It is so nice, and I have a good iPad now that I had a crappy one, first generation, for the longest time. I got a good one now, so it's starting to change my philosophy a little. I don't know what it's going to impact. Every time I think that I'm going to go one way, the previews comes out and I fucking change my mind again. But I am gonna start scaling back on collected editions in Marvel and using my Marvel Unlimited. The other thing I'm sort of trying to tell myself is, maybe as 'cause I'm such a collector, I have the collector mentality. I read my stuff, I have the collector mentality at the same time, and it's a compulsion, it's a disease. And kind of telling myself, as they cancel series, to not jump onto the new one and then just wait my 6 months and read it digitally on Marvel Unlimited. Except for things or characters that I'm obsessed with, like Daredevil, Cap, Thor. I mean, there's certain titles that I'm going to have to get just because of my compulsion. But I imagine myself scaling back, but still reading those titles in a digital framework. So I don't know what that's gonna do. Over the holidays too, I bought they had some amazing sales just across the board. Usually during the holiday season they do that, and I buy like two, three. But on the DC side, I bought a lot. I ended up buying every single volume of Dead Man, and that's like the Neil Adams stuff. Even though Neil Adams didn't start, it was Carmen Infantino, and all those volumes, there's four volumes. I bought the Mike Baron, Kelly, the Kelly Jones, with an EY, Kelly Jones, trade, which I absolutely love. They were deluxe format back in the 90s. Amazing. And I own it in three different forms. I own the original, I own the hardcover or the trade. I can't remember if it was a hardcover or a trade, so I'm just gonna say trade. And then I own the digital now. Digital. It seems like I have more time to read digital because at least during the week. During the week, I come home tired. I get home, it's 7. I eat around 7:30. I watch some TV with Barb. Usually, we watch one show. Maybe one show and a comedy or a half hour show, so it's an hour long show. And then I go to bed and I crash out early. I'm just exhausted from work. I go to bed around 10 or sometimes even at 9, depending on the day. But that happens. And then what happens is because I've gone to bed so damn early and because I have like a sleeping problem, I get anxiety about what's I need to do the following day, and I sleep pretty goddamn good until about 2 a.m. And then I can't sleep. I get up. I usually read, one to two comics, and they're usually digital because I don't usually. If I come downstairs, I'll read paper, but I'll read digital and then go. And then all weekend, I'll read paper. That's usually how it works, unless it's in the middle of the night again. Because I'm usually up for in the middle of the night, from for two hours roughly every night. But yeah, I'm starting to think about stuff. So I got those Dead Man one. I reread Convergence, and that one really held up. When I read Convergence coming out, I enjoyed it. But I was reading it like bang, 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 bang. And then you'd read the. Okay, I read the Convergence main series. I didn't read all of the tie-ins. And the tie-ins, I remember, I liked a lot, except they regurgitated the dome and how this shit worked in every fucking title. So it felt very repetitive. But for the most part, I really enjoyed about 75% of it. Well, the experience of rereading it just as Convergence was very different. So I don't know why I bought that, but I did. And then I bought the trade because I went on a Dead Man thing, and I reread this trade already. It was the Tales, oh no, as the DC Universe Presents. This was a New 52 one, and I remember loving the Dead Man and loving Challengers. And it was only $4.99, so I'm like, and I just felt the urge. Yes, I could read something. I took a lot of singles with me. Current comics, but man, I went into this mood where I didn't want to read any current comics. I got caught up on Superman and Supergirl and Action, and that's about all I read as far as new comics. Everything else was old, and I for some reason I just wanted to read Dead Man. I find the cat Boston Brand fascinating. You know, he was an arrogant dick who gets murdered. And then he's trying to find out why he was murdered, but it makes for like a quantum leap type. You know, you're jumping into somebody's body. It could be somebody different every time. You could jump into a bad guy. You can jump into a good person, a musician, an astronaut. You jump in from body to body. And what this DC Universe one did, and that stood out more the second time I read it, was for a while he was retaining the he went against the god Rama Kush I can't remember her name, Rama, but he went against her and tried to find this librarian and try to find out why he's linking and what's why this stuff is bothering him. Is he would remember the all the people's that he jumped into, and he wanted to like jump into bodies and then forget it, and so he went down this path, and he sort of met with a fallen angel at a carnival, and the fallen angel told him it was a really strange story, but he told him how to question various things, which led him to being able to forget the previous ones, and he would have like this tremendous amount of guilt if he jumped into a body and he wasn't successful or that person died. And yeah, it was very interesting. And I think they would, I can't remember if they would remember. The original, they didn't remember for sure. Like they would wake up, he'd jump in the body, and they're like, "What the fuck did I do? I just saved somebody." In this case, there was the story focused on a handicapped veteran. Who didn't have his legs, and it was a pretty impactful story. I'd highly recommend it. And then it went into The Challengers by Dan DiDio, and I can't remember if it was Jerry Ordway. I'm pretty sure Jerry Ordway drew it. God, it was beautiful. And it was one of the best challenging stories I've ever heard because it took like a reality TV show adventure type thing. And did this, and it was really fascinating. So yeah, I'm walking around and talking. So if I sound like I'm breathing hard, I pace because it helps me think. I don't script nothing. I just kind of blah blah blah, a stream of consciousness kind of thing. So yeah, I read a lot and I bought a lot. I read a lot of Defenders, and my God, I mean, for those of you who know me, they know I love Defenders, and just the rereads, it brought so many memories back of when I was a kid, and just fond memories and new a freshness to it that God, Steve Gerber's a master, and the art and all the books, it's one of the best teams I have ever experienced in my life. And it means so much to me, and I don't know if it'll mean so much to you people that are listening, but there's something to be said for remembering things and having a retro vibe, and just remembering where you were, where you read this, or who you were with, and who you talk about this with, and it's just, oh man. And man, Nighthawk's a dick. The other thing I've never read that I read digitally on Marvel Unlimited because it was Venom month or something, and I saw they had Venom Dark Origin, and it's the retelling of Eddie Brock, and I read all of Amazing Spider-Man stuff by McFarlane and Michelinie back in the day, and I don't remember how dark his past was. I mean, I know he was a dick, reporter and a liar, and I didn't realize when he was a kid that he was awful. I mean, it didn't help that, they try to get you to feel a little sympathetic because when he was born, his mother died in childbirth. So the father could not acknowledge his son. All he saw was his dead wife every time he looked at her. So he looked at him. He just hated Eddie. And it drove... Oh, wow. I might have longer to record than normal. Barb's leaving later. So I'll mumble a little bit more, but it showed how he went through, like, various stages in his life, this Eddie Brock. It introduces him, and this girl and this father are looking for this lost cat. And all the kids in the neighborhood, he tells the kids, "Can you please help us find this? We'd be very grateful." Well, Eddie goes and he plays the hero and he finds the cat. But little do you know, he's the one that stole the cat! And it was in his house, and he comes back out and acts like a hero. And he does this all through school. Like, he's just this compulsive liar. And he finds out early on because I don't remember if him and his father were watching the news or what, because I'm just starting to get confused about something else that I want to talk about relatively briefly after I get done on this tangent. But his father, the only time he ever acknowledged him is when he was reporting on some kind of news story. So Eddie kind of formed this thing, like, "I want to be a reporter because my father thinks that I could be good at it." You know, my father finally acknowledged me. And he does a lot of things in high school, lies and does things that are horrible. And in college, he does something really bad. He takes one of the girls. He says, "I'm going to walk you to my house." And he takes her to a badass neighborhood, like horrible. And there's these goons that are going to rape the girl he took. Like, she said, "Why'd you take me here? This, you don't live here." And he goes, "I know, but I just wanted to..." It's awful. This girl was going to get raped. They beat up Eddie. If Spider-Man didn't come at the right time and save her from getting raped. And then what happened is when she was unconscious, Eddie took the credit for saving her, and it was Spider-Man. Oh my God, this guy's a dick. But that's enough. Dark Origins. Angel Medina does the art. So if you know him, he has a very Todd McFarlane type artistic style. He even drew some Spawn back in the day. And I've talked about Infinity Watch recently, I think on the previous podcast that I was getting into it. So good. We're just reading a lot of good comics lately. The other thing I want to mention is I've watched a lot of TV. The Toys That Made Us. So good. I watched that on Christmas break. First episode was Star Wars, and I knew a lot about that stuff. The things I didn't notice is how George Lucas couldn't even find a toy company, so Kenner really made off on it. In other words, they made so much of the profit, George and 20th Century Fox made very little, until they let the license expire and he acquired it back. And at that time, Hasbro had acquired Kenner. And when they came back with the toys. Now George, well, now Disney gets a bigger chunk because the contract was rewritten. But the Barbie story, absolutely fascinating to find how that went. The guy that designed the doll was a Raytheon employee for missile design, and he designed the doll in all the movements of the doll. And he became very rich on it because the woman that wanted to make the doll was in Switzerland, I believe, and there was a man's doll that was about the same size that was used very sexually that men would buy for some reason, and used in cartoons and such, very sexual. And they took that prototype back to the States and developed Barbie. Because all that girls had were paper dolls at the time. And she brought it back, her and her husband. And then this guy crafted it, and he had so much money. He built a castle. And I mean it actually looked like a castle of a house. A matter of fact, the creator of Barbie was upset that they wrote the contract this way because he was making so much money. But they tried to shaft him out of the work, and he had four wives. He was getting women because of all the money that he had. But he went through the women. But he became very addicted to cocaine and alcohol, and eventually led to a suicide. Which I had no idea. So this Barbie story was very fascinating. And then the woman was shafting the IRS and all the laws about stuff by cooking the books, saying that they were shipping out more toys than were actually sold or something. I don't know exactly the details on how that works, but it caused her to go to court and become guilty and serve time. But her time served was very lenient at the time. Her husband didn't get time, so it makes me wonder if her husband didn't even know she was cooking the books. But the Barbie one's fascinating. The He-Man one was fascinating because a lot of the creators were like bullshit artists. And in other words, when they came up with not the actual creators of the characters and stuff, but the guys that were running the company, they would go to various toy companies. They got the number two toy company, but when they got to Toys R Us, they were asking them hard questions, and they didn't plan for these questions, but the questions were legit. Like how would you do this and how would you do that? And they just the fascinating part is they had one guy that was such a good bullshit artist. He's we're gonna have a cartoon. We're gonna have a comic. The first time he said we're gonna have a comic. And they present it with, we're going to have a G.I. Joe song. Listen to this. G.I. Joe, a real American hero. That was fascinating. But that was He-Man. I mean, that was G.I. Joe. So I'm already jumping to episode four. But anyway, I watched all those during Christmas break. He-Man was episode three, and G.I. Joe was episode four. And they were all fascinating. Larry Hama shows up in episode four, which is very cool. So I would check that out. There are only four episodes. They're on Netflix. They're about an hour each, maybe 45 minutes. I can't remember. But they'll go by fast. They're very worthwhile. Matter of fact, I stopped buying toys. But I loved the new Star Wars movie. And when I saw they had that speeder, the speeders that were going towards the AT-AT at the end of the movie, I had to have one, and kind of like the mentality of that show made me buy this speeder, and now I have one. So the other thing I watched, or I started watching, was Quarry, and this I didn't even know. There's things you learn when you podcast, and we were talking about the books, the Hard Case Crime book. We reviewed the comic book, and we started talking about the books, which I had ordered a couple books. I'm actually gonna read a novel. How about that? So when you love something so much, it causes you to go into other mediums. Well, it caused me to go into buy a couple books, novels, which I don't usually buy, and it caused me to find out that there was a TV show on Cinemax, Quarry, from the Max Allan Collins creation. And it got canceled, unfortunately, but I'm already on episode 5. Oh God, it's fucking amazing. And if you read the comic book, I highly rec and you enjoyed it, I highly recommend this series. I mean, the acting is it's amazing. And it's so crime noir, and that actor's so good that plays Query, and I just wish Query looked like that in the comic book. I think in Query's War, it's way long and he looks more clean cut. And Query, he comes back from Vietnam and he's got that beard and he's got the sideburns and oh man, it's badass. And you get all the backstory. Highly recommend you guys check this out. It's Query, it's only 8 episodes. If you have Cinemax or you have On Demand somehow, it is on Cinemax On Demand. And you can check it out that way. That's how I'm checking it out. I didn't even know about this shit. And the only reason I know about it is because I'm all in on the hard case crime on Titan. And I've loved everything. Like, I just, like, it made me watch that Michelle Rodriguez, although that movie was not very good, it made me go check that out once I found out there was a movie based on it. So, when you love something, it cause and you're not getting enough of it. You're not getting enough comics. Like there's one or two per month. You start going down other media to find out. That's how shit should work. I mean, that's how you should. I wish it worked in terms of comic books. I wish people watched the movies and said, "Shit, I want to find out more about it. I gotta go read the comics." But it doesn't usually see that because you don't see an increase in sales. I mean, with some things you do, like Walking Dead, the TV show really helped out that book. I don't know. I'm gonna go ahead and stop and put together my list of books to see if I can get this out before Barb shows up. But I may release this a little late. But I hope you enjoyed my little. The other thing we're watching is we're on the last episode now of The Strain, which is also has ties to a comic book that Guillermo del Toro did and had done at Dark Horse. There's all kinds of volumes of that, which I have. I haven't read them all yet, but I have it. That's amazing. The Strain is an amazing show, and the finale has been top notch. I can't wait to see what happens with that. So it's amazing how much comic book media is out there. Like I haven't even gotten to the Marvel stuff. I don't know why I do certain things. Well, there was a movie I watched and it was fucking amazing and I didn't mean to watch it and I can't remember the title of it. It was The Girl's Name. I could probably go to my Facebook page, but if you like John Wick, you would love this fucking show. It's a oh man, I wish I knew what the name of it. It's a female's name, and I started off slow. Like I was like, am I gonna like this? And then I got to the holy crap moments. But what it is, it's about a call girl who's can't leave this apartment. She's been in it for like 3 years, and she's left a daughter behind with her grandmother. And she decides one day, enough is enough. I'm gonna escape. And she hides a gun in the toilet. And she just got like gang banged. And she has the gun, and she's working with a policeman. That she finds out when she calls the policeman, because she hit a cell phone into the toilet too, that he never answers, that he's dead. So the police are in on some of this stuff, so it even makes shit worse. And it is just shit blowing up and her kind of killing like a lot of people, man. And finally reuniting with her daughter, and it is really good adventure series that goes by really fast once it gets going. Everly, that's what it is. Thank God. And I didn't even look it up. It just came back. It's Everly. That's also on Netflix, and I watched during Christmas break. So I had a lot more to talk about. But I'm going to end on this note, and then we'll come back with the weekly reads for sometime, I think, in February or January of 2017. I'll see you in a bit. Bye. All right, I'm back, and I'm going to try to marathon through this really quick before Barb gets here. So this is the week of it, I'm almost a year away. I'm going to lap myself pretty soon if I don't speed up. But these are for books from February 6, 2017 to February 12, 2017. Again, the ratings are 5, I love it, 4, I really like it, 3, I like it, 2, did not like it, and 1, hated it. And this was a DC week in February. The total of 26 books that week, all of them were DC. There wasn't one. Ooh, there was. There's a boom. What the hell am I talking about? So I had 27. Sorry. It looks like a DC book from afar. I had 27 total. One was a boom book, but it's DC related, so. We'll start at the bottom. There was one I didn't like, and I haven't liked it at all. And matter of fact, I haven't finished it. I really don't like the Power Rangers. There's some properties that I don't dig. Doctor Who, I don't dig. Power Rangers is another one I don't give two shits about. But there's a Justice League Power Rangers book. This was a DC book, and it begins as a fight between teams, but the reasoning gets them to work together, and Lord Zedd teams up with Brainiac. I don't even know two shits about Lord Zedd, but I guess he's the Power Ranger villain. I didn't like it, even though I do like the Justice League characters. I feel that this title is mostly focusing on the Power Rangers for whatever reason, and I think this is the Injustice guy writing this, which is really weird why I don't like it, because he's such a good writer. I'm gonna have to look it up because I'm forgetting. The white spots in my brain as I get older. You're gonna live through this, especially those that listen to me a lot. You're gonna hear me from when I was in my prime, being like knowing every fucking thing, to getting the white spots in my brain and not remembering shit. But it was Tom Taylor, I believe he wrote it. Probably the only book I ever rated as I didn't like. At 3 out of 5, we had Supergirl number 6. Okay, then the later Supergirl books I'm starting to really like, so they're going in the 4 out of 5s, but these earlier issues were either in the 2s or 3s. The art has changed for the better, in my opinion. The writing has changed for the better, and it just makes a better book. But in Supergirl number 6, she defeats her father, Cyborg Superman, and puts him with the DEO. There's a mention of Bones, and Bones is very prominent in the current issues, and returns to the status quo with her family, defeated by using a virus to make Kryptonians inert. That's how she defeated the cyborgs. Because there was a bunch of Kryptonians that came. Such a similar tone to what had happened in Superman recently, too. So it made it less like a similar storyline, less impactful. Okay, here's the Boom book, Planet of the Apes, Green Lantern 1. A mysterious ring makes its way to Cornelius, a ring that can change like the Phantom Ring. So it can, rep if you know what I'm talking about, in Green Lanterns, they introduce the Phantom Ring, which can take give the bearer the capability to use any of the colors of the spectrum. Superwoman number 7, it's the final fight with Lana Luthor. If you're watching the Supergirl TV show, Lana Luthor plays a big part of the TV show. Been really enjoying the Supergirl TV show. I just finished season 4, I mean, well, season 2, and I'm off to season 3 of Supergirl on the TV show. But although I took the break for Query, I still need to get back to it. And then Lois Restored. Okay, then we got Batgirl and the Birds of Prey number 7. Another 3 out of 5. Team finds out why. What did I write here? Realtors have been trying to break into the Watchtower. Okay, yeah, it was Realtors. I remember this now. Where there's gold hidden, and Oracle is still shady. That's the male Oracle, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And then checkmate number two. This is the original check. I mean, not the original checkmate. It's the second volume written by Greg Rucka. I think I started to read the trade. I don't know if I finished it, but I think I did. Either that or I just started to read it, the singles again. I can't remember why. Maybe it was for retro. Maybe I did cover it. I don't remember. It was a year ago almost. Sasha Questioned by Alan Scott. And the team tries to get China to reverse the vote to disband the organization, and that's to disband Checkmate. Another 3 out of 5 is the Justice League of America Rebirth. This is the start of the new series. This is the Rebirth issue, which is the actual before the ongoing starts. And this is assembling the team with Black Canary is the lead with Batman's assistance, and that's with Lobo, the Ray. Adam, not the Adam we know, the Ryan Cho Adam, and who else is in that? Vixen and one other one, I can't remember. Didn't this series got worse for me, and I hear it's gonna get better, but I haven't gotten there yet. Wonder Woman number 16 is a 4 out of 5. It's the backstory on Veronica, Kale, and Dr. Cyber, and why they hate Wonder Woman so much. The deities capture Veronica, Kale's daughter, because they're trying to find Themyscira. Really good issue. We have Titans number 8. Wally tries to set up a date with Linda, but she blows him off. Mal and Karen go to Meta Solutions. Mal already gave up powers, but sees Mammoth and freaks out from the Titans. The Titan series in the New 52, I can't remember what it was called, but written by the same guy. Karen develops powers and is now Bumble in a Bumblebee suit, run by the Fearsome Five. So that's that organ that works for that Meta Solutions. This is about the turning point when I started to like Titans again. Like it went from a 3 out of 5 to a 4 out of 5 when this story arc hit, and it's pretty much stayed a 4 out of 5. I'm about 2 issues behind in it now, so I'm fairly caught up in Titans and Teen Titans. We have Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern Corps. You know why I'm keeping caught up on Titans and Teen Titans? It's some things like Supergirl, because when I buy my comic, I take out the sticker and I load it digitally for the $3.99 books on the DC side. And some of those series I just tap into in the middle of the night when I can't sleep, and that's why I've caught up on some of those. Whereas I'm not caught up on Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps. This is number 14. John assumes the leader role and pairs up with the Green and Yellow Lanterns. The Space Cabbie, there's actually a cartoon of the Space Cabbie. I like the Space Cabbie. Tells where the remaining Yellow Lanterns are at, and Hal and Kyle go to find Saint Walker. We have Deathstroke number 12. He shows the Red Lion breaking him out of prison. Raptor appears. Rose confronted by one person who used to work for Slade. Slade is standing over Jericho and his wife as he sleeps. And you learn, I don't think that's his wife. He was going to marry Jericho's. He actually had a sexual relationship, but I think that comes up in a future episode of Deathstroke. We have New Superman number 8. The new Superman trains under I Ching, and if you know, in the 70s when Dennis O'Neil was writing Wonder Woman, I Ching was the one that trained Wonder Woman when she lost her powers and had the white jumpsuit. So I liked it. Batman, and this is not our Batman. This is Bat-Man, the Chinese Super Batman, keeps the cowl at the cost of losing a sister to the dark side. A villain, same as the character in Detective Comics number 1. We have Flash number 16, confrontation with Heatwave as he realizes how they all stole separately and needs to go back to Heatwave's house. I don't know what the fuck I wrote, but I remember this storyline, so I'm gonna summarize it. This is when the Rogues attacked Flash and they split up in different places, and they had pretty much defeated Flash, and he would have stayed defeated if Heatwave didn't fuck up. But Heatwave did fuck up. But that is the summary, and they had Captain Cold and his new gun during that issue. And I'm gonna pause real quick because Barb arrived, and then I'll finish in a. Right, I'm back, and my lovely wife reminded me that I say query wrong. It's quarry. And the reason his name is Quarry, I don't see, this is where the tangents go. Every time I talk to Barb about it, she's not watching the show with me, but I talk to her about every episode, and I say query. Not like a SQL query, like you run a SQL query against the database. I say query. His name isn't query, it's quarry. And the reason is when he meets the broker, they meet in a quarry, and he says, "Your personality is like a quarry." And he gives them that nickname. So she reminded me that I say it wrong every time. God bless her. And I am going to finish this. Where did I leave off? With the Flash. Heatwave was supposed to surrender for the plan to work, and they would have defeated Flash, but Captain Cold, but Heatwave effed up. So that was Flash number 16. We have All-Star Batman number 7. Mr. Freeze unleashed a virus, so Batman needed Poison Ivy's help. In the end, she decided to help him. Really well done. A Riddler and Duke story continued. This story arc we were talking about in Gotham by Geeks, and of the four of us, I am the only one that likes All-Star Batman. I really like All-Star Batman. They all like Batman by Tom King, and I don't, so I don't agree with them on anything. I enjoy this story arc a lot, and then the final story arc really got me to really like the series. We have Suicide Squad number 11. The Wall is on suspension for Maxwell Lord. The team goes to find the Russian team, the Annihilation Brigade, and then it gets a leave of absence. And then I have a sentence here that doesn't make any sense. It's probably I was typing this and I stopped typing it and I never finished my train of thought. I says, "Amanda, get on." What the fuck does that mean? Amanda, get on. What did she get on? But it's Amanda Waller. I don't know what I was writing. Detective Comics 950. The team, seen through Cassandra Cain's eyes. I said it was amazing. I liked it. The science, this is my last 4 out of 5, by the way. Science meets religion with Batwing and Azrael, and Tim Drake finds out what Batman is doing before he dies and preparing for a war. Okay, and then I think this is No Man's Land. I can't remember why I read so many old issues of Detective Comics and Batman, but I'm going to tell you about them, and by the time I summarize them, I am going to probably know why I was talking about them. These were back issues I think I read for Gotham by Geeks, but I don't remember. I remember I got pissed off at them because we were supposed to cover No Man's Land, and I barreled through it. I read the prelude, I read No Man's Land, and we never did the fucking episode. And I'm like, God damn it! I read this whole thing for nothing. It wasn't for nothing because I enjoyed the fuck out of it. But we never got to talk about it. And we kind of did some talk about it, but it was really half-assed. And it wasn't nearly where I wanted to do with it. And I was grouchy and I was like, motherfucker, don't give me homework again! And I got cranky. But, I think I got cranky because it was a lot of fucking reading. And you know how I am. Don't tell me what to do, Mike. That's my name. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to read. I'll read what I fucking want. And they got me started on it, but I guess with this case, my enjoyment of rereading it didn't matter. But before that, I think I never finished. Oh, I know what this is. I started reading the Greg Rucka Batwoman trade paperback, and I believe I finished it. And this was Detective Comics 858 through 860. It was Rucka Batgirl or Batwoman, the Kate and Alice backstory in West Point, also Renee Montoya introduction with the relationship. What did I say here? This is about her becoming a vigilante, and her father finds out and helps her train. That's Kate's father, and creates a headquarters and suit for her. And the blood test comes back, and she realizes that Alice is Beth, her sister. We get into the, I think this is No Man's Land. This is, I think. Let me read the summary, and then we'll talk about it. The D Detective Comics 563, Batman 397, Detective Comics 564, Batman 368. It's either that or it's going to be, well, we'll see. This might be the Two-Face one. Maybe I did the No Man's Land before, so I'm talking through my ass, and that's because this is so long ago. This stuff was from the Two-Face trade, okay? So this has Jason Todd has a new girlfriend, and they're being picked on by a bully, which was interesting because it's Jason Todd. He invites her over to Wayne Manor, and he almost tells her that he's Robin until Alfred interrupted. Robin goes to track down the bully and catch him buying drugs and runs into Two-Face robbing from a drug dealer. Batman and Catwoman trying to take down the False Face Society and the Black Mask, but it turns into a tale of Cersei trying to get revenge on Black Mask and uses Two-Face, but double crosses him with Batman. Sounds really complicated. Harvey uses two computers to commit the crimes. They give different answers, and he flips on the answers. Cersei gets Two-Face to steal an Egyptian mask, but is defeated by Batman, Catwoman, and Robin. And it also shows the jealousy between Robin and Catwoman, and Catwoman wants to end the relationship because Batman hides things from her. Yeah, this is the Two-Face. Okay, so these are the trades I'm not going to stop c collecting either. These are the Arkham Asylum trades that focus on the villains, and I really like that shit. So, scratch that. I probably covered No Man's Land about 6 months ago, and this just reminded me, like, why was I reading so much Batman at the time? It was because I was reading the Two-Face trade, and then I had Batman 346 and Detective Comics 513. Batman goes after Two-Face after he escapes. Batman and Margot capture Batman in Two-Face halfway house. Man, these were good stories. No wonder they're 5 out of 5. So starting with the Detective Comics 858 was the Batwoman stuff, and these Detective Comics and Batman issues for Two-Face. I love this shit. Okay, and that's why I'm remembering it. I'm getting so many fond memories of reading this summary. Vicki Vale finds out Bruce is Batman and confronts Alfred, just like the movie, Batman 89. Batman escapes and takes them down. Robin and Alfred think Batman is dead, goes to help Batman. Batman escapes and melts Trey into Two-Face and makes Two-Face think he has the same ailment. Boss Thorne gets Commissioner Gordon to resign. This man, these are good stories. That collected edition. So I finished the Batwoman collected edition. I know I did. This is probably the start of it. The collected edition for Arkham Asylum Two-Face. I read everything except for the final deluxe formatted series, which I gotta get back. I should find my way back into that bedroom, pick that trade, and finish it at some point. And that way I could say I finished another trade. Especially because I loved it so much. And we got Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 7, another 5 out of 5. Told how dangerous Bizarro can be. Jason goes after for a sliver of kryptonite in the cave to kill him, but can't do it. Oh God, this was so good. This had the Lenny and what's the Of Mice and Men vibe, and I absolutely loved it. It's Oh God, it was the John Steinbeck of Mice and Men of the comics world with Jason Todd and Bizarro. Oh God, it was so good. It brought I never read a lot of novels unless I was forced to. I don't know why. I read a lot of novels about comic books, like the Stan Lee story, Men of Tomorrow, a lot of documentary type comic book related. But when I was younger, I never liked to read because I've always had comics. It sounds weird because it's like, you uneducated fool. I read textbooks and I read when I had to read, but if I had a choice, I'd rather read a comic book. I don't know why. Maybe it's my short attention span, but I read a lot of textbooks so I get A's in class and stuff like that, but I was forced to. And when I read books and I was forced to choose a book, like for a book report, I found out when I was really young, I used to like the Henry books, the Henry and Ramona. That was in grade school, so I stuck with those, the paper boy, Henry the paper boy. But later on in middle school, when I started to do book reports, I discovered John Steinbeck, and I believe he wrote The Pearl and Of Mice and Men, and I read like four of his novels, and I think what attracted to me is they were really quick reads, and I loved them. Like I got captivated in the stories, and there's not too many stories that I would like. We'd be forced to read like Shakespeare, and God, it was painful. Even though I like them, just the dialogue and stuff, I couldn't take. It was like reading a Tom King Batman, but I just couldn't get into the verboseness or the flow of it, even though the story was really, really good. But that, I think the John Steinbeck vibe and this Red Hood and the Outlaws, it really, really did a number for me, because I have fond memories of Mice and Men, and I've seen the movies, and I wish I remembered the names Lenny and Frank. I can't remember his name. The last 5 out of 5 is weird. Around the same time of year, February of 2017 and January of 2018, I'm finding my love of Dead Man, but this is Dead Man, Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love number 3. And this is the house has a curse, Bernice can see ghosts, Adela and Boston can't escape the house. Nathan is in this the same person who killed Adela, she's the ghost, and is immortal as long as the house stands. Bernice and Sam burn the house down and are now a couple. This is a powerful ending to a deluxe formatted series. And if you have an appreciation for romance novels and horror, this combines both. This is written by Sarah Vaughan. Fucking amazing. Sarah Vaughan, if you ever saw her tweets and some of the stuff she posts, she helped do Alex and Ada, and you'll see on some of the pictures she posts that she's a fan of romance comics. And if you're a DC fan, in the 70s they had a Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love, so you combine two properties I absolutely love. For those of you that know me, you know I get a kick out of romance comics. I absolutely love them. They tell us about a time that things were very different, and they were written by men, and they're really bizarre, and they're hilarious to read now. But Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love by DC Comics, it eventually turned into Dark Mansion and stuff. Matter of fact, let me get you some specifics, 'cause I love my database, and let's see if I could if it's under Dark Mansion. Mansion of Forbidden Love. There it is. It's 4 issues. I don't own any of them. The covers. We talk about covers of hard case crime. Well, these Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love, these are books that are hard to find, and they're in the $100 range. So I haven't purchased them yet, but I would love to have. If you're into those pulpish type covers, the number 1 through 4 have beautiful covers. It's called Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love from 1971 to 1972, and the actual series continues in issue 5, and they changed the title for some freaking reason. They inverted the title a little bit. It turns into Forbidden Tales of Dark Mansion. I don't know why they took love out of it. That's maybe to make it look more like not a romance. I wanna look up that one and tell you how long it went. My database is fucking amazing. It's comic base, and it's always been around. One thing you'll find out is people lose interest that make databases and stop supporting it. This is one that's been around forever. So this one came about, and it became Forbidden Tales of Dark Mansion, and I do own one issue of that. It's issue 14, but that ran from issue 5 through 14. So these covers were not as pulpy-ish. They look more like comic covers. Although number 5 looks like they kept the same format. And then they turn more into like a horror. It actually looks like ghosts. If you read DC's Ghosts back in the day, the covers looked a similar to that. So that's just a little history of the Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love. I want to tell you who drew this too, because it's very, very good. I love Dead Man. I don't know why so many people don't like it. It's so catchy. Like it would fit into such a good TV show. Like this is a character that. Oh man, these covers are freaking beautiful. But the art is by Lan Medina. Absolutely beautiful. Let me see who does the covers. Maybe it is Lan. Let's see. Cover artist. Stephanie Hans. Oh my God, she might have done some hard case crime, because I wish you could see these books. I even own the collected edition of it, which collects the three of them. There was a kind of high price tag as a $5.99 cover price because it was deluxe formatted. So worth it. If you get a chance, or if there's another Comixology sale and you want to try something, highly recommend Dead Man, Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love. If you're a fan of Dead Man, or you like somebody bouncing into the interesting thing about this is more of a romance tale, and Dead Man just happens to go into this house that's haunted by a woman that's been murdered, and you'll learn the history about somebody else. Like the guy's immortal because he murdered or sacrificed her in this house way back then. But the catch of the story is Dead Man can't leave the house. He's like bound in the house. He can't leave. And the guy who's immortal has a new love interest, and he always goes into this room where he never lets. He says he's writing a book or some sort, and he's gonna get married to this girl, and she falls in love with another guy. And yeah, Dead Man, Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you want to get a hold of me, please contact me on the Twitters. That'll be your fastest response at Mike Myers Brunch. If you have questions for me, which I didn't solicit for any, usually I get one or two questions, but it's a good thing I didn't, because I talked my ass off. So please send me questions. What I do is I collect them, and then I try to record them, keep them in an episode. I put them in a spreadsheet and then answer them on a future episode. So send them to me at any time on Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch, or you can send me email if you want to type a lot more at mike@comicbooknoise.com. That's my email, and I check it almost daily. Very close to daily anyway. You can also go to the website. This is posted under Geek Brunch Podcast, and leave a comment under the episode thread. So you could just go to the website, leave a comment there. I have to approve the comment, but I check that every time I load an episode, and they get loaded weekly. I pretty much have an episode every week. Sometimes I have two episodes a week, like I will this week. So I check it once or twice a week. That's how to get a hold of me again. Or you can go to the Facebook page. That I will see, because it's one of the groups I own, and I will see if you post something. I post all the episode threads on Geek Brunch Podcast, and you can click the like button and follow it there. And if you put in a comment there, I will answer it. there or in a future episode of Mike Gam's Weekly Reads. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and I will see you soon. Bye.